Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Howdy, what's happening? Third hour, coming to you live from the Tiki and Tierney Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studio. Home is more than a house. It's a personal paradise. Get yours with Rocket Mortgage. Push button, get mortgage. Tiki, oh, that popcorn smells good, man. Is that a little butter on there?
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network here. So this will be a little fun. You know, sometimes we'll do this, could be multiple times throughout any given week throughout the NFL season. We'll just kind of craft a listen, we'll always react to the main news of the day. But it's football, so we'll always find a way to kind of create an interesting conversation, maybe something that is really not on anybody's radar yet.
Yep.
And we'll do that coming up in a second here. Two things have happened. You know, we had Seahorn in, Jason, who was great for 40 minutes, and we bounced around a lot with him. We should at least comment on this. One, Josh Rosen's been named the starter.
Yep.
Week three for the Dolphins. Okay, I mean, great, but now their point differential is minus 92 points. The season's already lost. He should have started week one. I guess it's better than week nine, but this was my whole rant during the summer. Should have been playing from the beginning.
Yeah, it made no sense.
No sense.
We know who Ryan Fitzpatrick is, and every now and then he'll give you a boost, but he's a backup right at this point in his career, and he should not have even been on their radar for starting, unless they just weren't trying to win, and that's what it felt like, and that's... It's just bad for business.
Mm-hmm.
The business of the NFL is bad when you're like intentionally not either learning about a young player or trying to lose.
Yeah, sure.
That's what it felt like.
I can't challenge that statement. The optics are horrendous.
Yep.
The other thing, they did pick up, speaking of business, Taco Carlton from the Cowboys, who was just cut. They were first on the waiver, so they picked him up. We'll see if, you know, that's a sensible move.
I think it is.
Kick the tires, former first-round pick, see if he's got anything. The kid from Michigan. This also transpired today, and this, to me, is not good for this head coach. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Carolina Panthers head coach Ron Rivera exited his press conference abruptly on Thursday.
Saw this.
After less than 2.5 minutes when questions persisted on the status of quarterback Cam Newton. Quote, "I just asked you to ask me questions about somebody else," Rivera said. "I'm not going to do this anymore. I told you I won't know any more until tomorrow. Thank you." End quote.
Getting testy.
Walked off the stage abruptly, and as he did that, that's such a weird thing. Go golly. But apparently he's like, oh, golly. You know, like, again, that just sounds so like un-NFL football coachish. Golly. But he's obviously a bit perturbed at the line of questions. "Hey, coach, I got news for you. It's a former MVP who got you to the Super Bowl. People want to know what the hell's going on with Cam Newton."
Yeah, I don't understand. I don't know why he's so perturbed by asking questions about Cam Newton.
Unless he's just very much ticked off at Cam Newton.
Yeah, but something is physically wrong with him. This isn't... I mean, some of it may be decision-making, as Jason went into really good detail on, and he was right. Like, the mechanics and the development of him didn't take place in the right way. But that has nothing to do with Cam now. The issue with Cam right now is that he's got a foot injury that has him out from practice all week, and he's already been ruled out of the game.
Yep.
So Will Greer is going to be their starting quarterback. And then the lingering maybe complications from his shoulder. Like, we need to know if Cam Newton is available,
mm-hmm.
not just week three, but is he available week four, five, six, seven, eight? Like, what's going on with Cam Newton? To be upset about having to answer that question doesn't make a lot of sense unless he's starting to get pressure from ownership. And we know the new ownership down there, David Tepper, likely wants his own regime in there. And you know, you see it, you test it for a while. He's been a head coach for 9 seasons with the Carolina Panthers, got them to a Super Bowl, obviously had that epic season where they almost went undefeated.
Yep.
But since then, it's been off the cliff. There's some good players, young players that are interesting, but it's not looking right for the Carolina Panthers right now.
No, I mean, Ron Rivera's, this is what's a little ironic here, is a 2-time NFL Coach of the Year, and mm-hmm. Tiki said 9 years he's been there, which, well, I mean, 9 years went fast, right?
Did.
But for a 2-time Coach of the Year, I don't know, and this is not to denigrate Ron, he's obviously a good football man, But multiple Coach of the Year awards, does anybody think he's an elite head coach? I mean, I don't know anybody that well, I certainly
I mean,
don't think
the one
that.
Year, I would have said he's trending toward yes.
Mm-hmm.
And again, this was 3 years ago, so he was 6 years. It was like his sixth year. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, maybe he's going to develop into that guy. Like, kind of surprisingly develop into that guy.
Mm-hmm.
But now
I'm asking the question now, yeah, not back yeah, in 2016.
Exactly. I can't co-sign that.
That's just unacceptable. Now, I'm not there every day. We're obviously parachuting into a local mm-hmm. story as a national show, so I want to be fair. Without fully dropping the hammer here, but that's just unacceptable behavior from any. I don't care if it's a transient scrub who your quarterback is. You know, you got to, you know, let alone your franchise Super Bowl getting you there, Super Bowl MVP, former first overall pick. People want answers.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, Ron, I'm sorry if we're offending you, or I'm sorry if you got something built. You got to go play golf. You got to talk about the quarterback. Very surprised at that behavior. He's not going to win that battle, even though Charlotte. The media in Charlotte is not known for having fangs and being vicious. There's still a way your head coach in the yeah. NFL needs to comport himself.
But no,
when you
I
get
agree.
Two minutes in on a Thursday about your starting quarterback, to me, is totally in bounds.
And look,
come
BT,
on.
That's what makes them one of these teams that you start worrying about. Two games into the NFL season, you worry about a couple of teams, at least in my estimation. One is the Carolina Panthers because of all the things we just said, but another one that jumps to the forefront of my mind simply because of the preseason expectation is the Chicago Bears.
Go for it.
The Chicago Bears have one of the best defenses in football. They're still ranked up there at the top as far as scoring and sacks and all those things. They're giving up 12 points a game, which is third in the National Football League. However, there's only one team worse than the Chicago Bears in scoring in the NFL this season. That's the Miami Dolphins. Who have scored 10 points in two games.
You don't want to be
right?
anywhere near them on any statistical chart.
The only
nowhere.
Other one has an excuse, and that's your New York Jets, who also have only scored 19 points on the season.
Come on, Sam, get healthy.
The Bears are 1-1. They found a way to win against a Denver team who they should have, you know, obliterated.
Yeah.
They found a way to win that game. I think it was 16 to 12 or something like that. I can't remember what the score was. It was a tight game. I can look it up real quick.
About the Broncos game?
Yeah, 16-14. So they find a way to win that game. But week one, they scored 3 points, man.
Yep.
And so this team that has missed Trubisky, it has this Matt Nagy offense that we lauded because he's a disciple of Andy Reid. Where is the advancement? Where is the step forward? Where is the Tariq Cohen, you know, in a Tyreek Hill role that we expected from this Chicago Bears offense to keep them on par, that is, complementary to their elite defense? Where is it? So if I'm looking at a team that I'm scratching my head and saying, you might not be what we propped you up to be,
mm-hmm.
it's the Chicago Bears for sure.
I didn't like the Bears coming into the season. I didn't have as a playoff team when we did our Tiki and Tierney preview. And the reason I'm looking at my phone, please, I don't want to give anybody the wrong idea. It's not like I'm ignoring my partner. I was trying to find something that I took a screenshot of the other day pertaining to the Chicago Bears. I think this is pretty relevant. I saw that Jason Lock and Four had retweeted this the other day. Warren Sharp, you're familiar with a lot of
yep.
very good on good work. He tweeted this, I guess this would have been Monday, and he's talking about the play calling about the Bears, and he says this is an indictment of a quarterback by his head coach if I've ever seen one. The Bears, and I watched a big chunk of this game because there weren't many four o'clock
yeah.
games, maybe
yeah.
a third, but I think it was only two. The Bears called 18 plays from their 46 to the Denver end zone, all right? And 15 were runs, and only 3 were Mitch Trubisky passes.
Mm.
So just to make sense, from their 46 to the end zone of the Bears.
So
that's 54 yards.
Yeah, exactly, 4 yards plus 50.
54 yards, they had 18 plays, 15 runs, 3 passes.
Mm.
This is the guy who moved up a slot to draft second overall who right now looks horrendous.
Yeah, and they don't trust him, clearly.
No, so I think that the Bears is a great call on your part. I just want to make sure I had those numbers. Okay, I'm going to go with the L.A. Chargers, Teak.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense.
I'm going to go with the L.A. Chargers.
Things could get off the rails with them.
They could. First of all, the first win, not that it matters about covering the spread, but I think the Colts were 6.5. Well, it always matters, just not specific to this necessarily. But the Colts were 6.5-point dogs week one against the Chargers, and I remember I picked them to win outright on tops, and everybody thought I was nuts. They should have won the game. They
yeah.
covered, but they lost, but they should have won. And I'm like, man, this Chargers team, they're the beneficiaries of recency bias. We all know they usually collapse in a playoff game, but we all know that the Chargers,
mm-hmm.
because the Raiders have been really bad for a while, and the Broncos have had trouble scoring points. Plus, the Chargers have been good. The Chargers get lumped in the last 4 or 5 years with elite teams when they probably shouldn't be, all right? And a lot of people did it again this year. Oh, the Chargers. Forget about Melvin Gordon. That's immaterial. Their offensive line stinks.
Mm-hmm.
Their offensive line's a big, big problem. And, you know, Phillip Rivers, do yourself a favor. Just go to CBSSports.com. Look at his game log from last year in December. Shoom. Palpable drop.
Yeah.
Watch Phillip Rivers this year. Not that good. That red zone pick against the Lions when they were down 3 with 2 minutes to go and they were in field goal range was a throw that I would expect Kyler Murray to make at this point as a rookie, or maybe Daniel Jones this weekend, you know, for the Giants as a rookie, make it his first start. That was a stunning development. I'm not saying they're 5-11 bad. Please, I'm not saying that. But I think anybody who looks at the Chargers right now as a team, even as a second-level Super Bowl contender, is going to be woefully disappointed. I don't see him this
way.
Last year
we had Phillip Rivers as a sleeper MVP candidate with how well he was playing at the beginning of the season. And again, we're digging into stats a little bit here, but it's worth doing it at the early stage of the year. The one thing that we worried about at the end of last season, BT, was the turnovers. It was, man, come on, Phillip, you know better than that. Why make that throw? And we're starting to see it. They're 25th in the league right now in turnover differential. Four turnovers so far in the season. They've only generated 2, but it's not even really about that. You're 2 games in, you've turned the ball over 4 times. That's not winning football,
mm-mm,
especially for a team that's supposed to be veteran.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and be able to run the ball and have Phillip Rivers, who's a, you know, Hall of Famer in a lot of people's minds. There's some concern in Los Angeles for sure, because this was supposed to be one of those swan song type years for Phillip Rivers. Maybe it's next year is his walking off party, but still, they are built, it seems like, at least on paper, without Derwin James, that changes a little bit.
Big time.
To be a contender. They're not right now.
They're not.
2 weeks in, they're not.
And I'll tell you what, you know, we'll get a little bit of an indication coming up this week. They're playing the Texans. That's a CBS game. So that's obviously, Texans are a step up in talent, certainly from the Lions. But after that, even if they go on a run, and based on their schedule, if they don't, then they have real issues. Then it's just fatal. They're playing at the Dolphins. That's a win.
Mm-hmm.
You're playing the Broncos at home. Flip a coin. Denver simply can't score. Defense is good. Can't score. Then they play the Steelers at home as well. You know, we know their situation. Then you're at Tennessee. I mean, now if they lose against the Texans and then rip off 3 straight wins, even if they win, it stabilizes their season. But I need to see how they win.
Yeah, it's not giving you confidence.
It's not.
Unless they're blowing these teams that they're supposed to be blowing them out.
Correct.
Yeah.
So there could be a little false security for Charger fans, but, you know, they get enamored. If they even win 3 straight, they might not beat the Broncos. Who knows? But the Chargers are my team that I'm worried about, and Bears.
Bears.
And I think those are 2 very good choices. Listen, you could talk about the Jets, who are 0-2. But the expectations for the Giants and the Dolphins.
It's not there.
You got to take a team that was supposed to do something.
You're right.
You know? 855-212-4227 here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. I love talking football. Oh, my God. I love talking football. We'll talk more football coming up. Jason Lockenfora. By the way, here's a note. Heard a few people ask about this. Jason's with us next here. But there was a thought, if Jalen Ramsey plays tonight, and right now he's going to, which I completely think is idiotic in case he gets hurt, but he's going to play. That's what they're saying now. Say if he's dealt tomorrow, he cannot play Sunday.
Yeah.
People weren't sure about that because
they
were saying, wow, could Jalen Ramsey play 2 games in 4 days?
That'd be awesome, though.
You're not allowed. The NFL actually put a memo out and said, nope, not happened. They squashed it. So we'll get all the league news and items from Jason, see if anything is emerging from the conversation the NFL had with his Antonio Brown's accuser in the civil suit. We got a lot to hit, some big injuries as well. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
That's the music.
Love it. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 855-212-4227, brought to you by GEICO. Great news. Quick way to save money. Switch to GEICO. Just go to geico.com and in 15 minutes, save 15% or more on car insurance. All right, it is time to strap in. We're going to spin you around the NFL, all the pertinent items with our guy, the insider, the NFL Today, CBSSports.com, Tops, of course, a must-follow on social media, and that is Jason Lockenfora, CBS Sports NFL Insider. What up, Jay?
How's it going?
Going awesome. We got a bunch of things to rifle through here. First up, why would the Jaguars take a chance playing Jalen Ramsey tonight? When you've got multiple teams pondering giving up multiple first-round picks, why take a chance?
Well, I don't know. Yeah, pondering, I think, is the key word there. If somebody was
had two number ones on the table, I think that would be done. You know what? The Dolphins did the same thing with Minka Fitzpatrick last week.
Yep.
So it's not without precedent and not without recent precedent. You could sit him. And I think if something was imminent, I know there's a report out there about a Friday deadline. I don't hear anything close to that. I don't know of or have not heard any reason why this deal wouldn't have to be done on Friday, especially with teams about to play Sunday. And I got news for you. There's not going to be more healthy corners in the NFL come Monday than there are on Friday. That's not how it works. But, yeah, you could certainly make the case for sitting him, and now you've got, 10 days until you play again, and maybe you get something done in that time frame. It is a little surprising.
Yeah.
I think part of it maybe just be sort of them and the coach and everybody trying to put a happier face on this. Like, hey, dude, if you really want out of here, you know what I mean? Play well tonight. Try not to scream at your coach. Let's have, don't scream at any of your teammates. Like, let's try to create a little leverage here and show people that you can get through a game without it being all about you.
Hey, JLC, is any chance for a reconciliation or none? Is it done?
Because there's never going to be a financial reconciliation. Like, I don't see them paying him. They've given no inclination that they're going to pay him what it will take to keep him. He came back this year without a deal. Next year on the fifth-year option, if they don't pay him, I would suspect he stays away until week one. I don't really know how tenable it is. I mean, certainly there could be a new coach by then, and then, maybe he gets along better with that guy. But I just have not ever gotten an indication, nor has any other team, that Jalen Ramsey was somebody who the Jags were going to make the highest-paid corner in the league. And his play has been worthy of it. More often than not, there's other things that you knock him for. But I don't see there being a long-term marriage there. They should have just done this in the offseason.
No, listen, there's other things we want to hit, but I want to at least ask you this. I know you talk to people. First of all, you watch a little tape. Obviously, you're connected. Paint the picture, like, in terms of the last 15, 20 years, obviously, Revis is a standard. Darrell was a little more stout, a little bit of a better tackler. I think Jalen Ramsey's certainly more athletic, but Revis was great. Is he up at is he at that level yet, or where is he?
I don't know about that, but as the game has become you look at where the game was when Revis entered and where the game is when Revis left, it had changed, And everybody's a throwing team now. And second down and first down are throwing downs. And you're being spread out in ways you never were before. And at the same time, there seem to be fewer true, sick'em corners, where you could just put this guy on the other team's one, and if you could follow him around, he could do anything, and you don't have to worry about it. You need them more than ever, and there's fewer. After 3 years, I'm not willing to make those comparisons, but compared to his contemporaries right now, just on-field play, it's pretty special.
Okay. All right. So to Jason Lockin for CBS Sports NFL Insider, and we're obviously going through the league here with the pertinent stuff on Tiki and Tierney.
Hey, Jay, let's dig in on Cam Newton here for a second. First of all, health-wise, what do we know about his foot injury? And Ron Rivera had an interesting reaction to just being asked. It's a simple question. Mm-hmm. He got testy about it. What's happening down there in Carolina with Cam and, I guess, and by extension, with Ron Rivera?
Yeah, I mean, look, that owner seriously started considering making changes mid to late last season when things fell apart there, and did a lot of due diligence and asked a lot of people around the league what they would do, and was certainly mulling options. They come into this year with higher expectations. I think Ron Rivera has 1 year left on his deal after this year. Doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out you spent $2.5 billion for something or whatever it was, pretty much cash. One of the primary employees you will ever have, sort of in your stead under you is your head coach, and you inherited this guy. So, and I think they're 1-9 in their last 10 games. There's mitigating circumstances, but those are the facts. So, yes, I think people are definitely understanding that there's some tension there, and some people are coaching, performing, whatever, for their jobs. Cam's not going to play this week, and they'll just have to assess after that. At this point, there's been two sort of issues with that midfoot sprain. A third one, and you're talking about a real sustained absence. So they've got to get to a position where they're comfortable enough that they don't think he's highly susceptible to another setback. And when that is, I don't know that anybody knows right now.
Jay, is there any thought that he might retire?
I haven't heard that.
Okay.
No, I haven't. I haven't gotten that indication at all. I think he's certainly frustrated by what he's had to go through physically, you know, dating back to the shoulder injury last year. But no, I get the sense he's fired up to play and show people what he can do again. His body has just betrayed him a few times here lately.
Okay. Speaking of injuries, have you ever seen a team cancel practice as the Eagles did?
A couple did it. I think a couple teams canceled Wednesday practice.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Week. It happens. It happens normally more late in the season, you know what I mean, where you either have everything to play for and you're running out of players, or you have nothing to play for and you don't like your numbers, in which case, you know, discretion, better part of valor. But week three, to have multiple teams decide to go with a walkthrough on Wednesday, no. And, you know, you mentioned the Eagles specifically. The position groups where they've been hit the hardest are the position groups where I thought they had the most depth. Wide receiver, defensive line, and tight end. And now all of a sudden they're scrambling to have enough numbers there. I mean, it just shows you in this league, you know, why the best organizations, and they're one of them, are never happy with the state of their 53-man or even their practice squad, because in a matter of weeks, it all can change. And it certainly has there. The good news is, you know, Alshon, Deshaun, those are more week-to-week things than month-to-month. But that's a team that I thought would be running a lot of two tight end sets and really kind of running people to the ground with them, and then also, you know, and also throwing the ball all over the place out of them. And they don't have the personnel. Well, certainly last week didn't have the personnel to do it.
Yeah, no, they got to add a practice squad guy up to play with 12 personnel this week. It's amazing they actually kept that game close, or we had a chance to win it at the end.
Could have won it. I mean, drop ball, Aguilar.
You're right. Let's jump to Miami real quick. And again, this is a short hit, but the decision to start Josh Rosen instead of Ryan Fitzpatrick, we believed it should have happened at the beginning of the season. Why now? What's the philosophy in the head coach's mind
I don't know that there was a master plan with this one. You know, I think it was we're still kind of going through a teardown here. And once they traded Tunsil, I think that really, at that point, it was like, well, why are we going to play Rosen right now?
Yeah.
Let's see what this thing looks like without Tunsil. I mean, I think the cumulative score is one?
Negative 92.
Yeah.
-92 point
I mean, at that point, you might as well. Not that you're obviously grading on a curve, and not that anybody's going to be able to make a proper determination about who or what Josh Rosen is based off this sort of death march he's being sent into. But why not, I think, is really the prevailing thought at this point when he's played both games, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you've already gone to him twice. You might as well give him the reps in practice and try to get him better prepared rather than having to come in cold when he's down 40 points.
They're so bad, I'm not sure if they're tanking for Tua or if they're tanking for Lawrence next year. I mean, are they going to turn this into a two-year kick job?
The reality is they're going to be in a position to do whatever they want.
Yeah.
They could take two quarterbacks this year and trade, and you know what? And trade one of them or trade both of them to just keep accumulating.
I can't do it. Jay, you know why I can't?
I think they're going to have three of the first 12 to 15 picks in the draft.
I can't take two quarterbacks. They've got so many holes. I got to get a lineman. I've got to get a – I can't take two quarterbacks.
If you wanted to get really cute, they could do all that and still have two ones the following year and probably still be the worst team in the league and probably still get Lawrence.
Let me ask you about a former Dolphin quarterback. We're all going to get ready to watch Marcus Mariota play tonight. How long is the leash in Tennessee? They got Tannehill for a reason.
Yeah, they did. And look, when you're in a four-minute drill and you're at your own 36 and you're down by a couple in your home opener and it's fourth and nothing and you punt, and then the other team with 2 minutes left, you know, on the road, nursing a couple-point lead, goes for it on fourth and short and picks it up. I think it shows you what they think of Marcus Mariota versus what the Colts think of Jacoby Brissett, just a snapshot from that game. It's tough without their left tackle. You know, he's suspended and all, but I think Marcus Mariota, it is what it is. He's shown you his limitations health-wise and in terms of being such a game manager and so uber-conservative. And I feel for the kid because they've had a million different coordinators and all that. But I have a hard time buying that offense. Will it get much better whenever Tannehill's in there?
Yep.
I don't know, but I don't think it's imminent, guys, because I don't know anybody's running away and hiding in that division. But I do expect by the second half of the year, Tannehill's getting a look-see because what's the point with Mariota after a while? If you're not going to re-up with him, what are you doing?
Oh, man. All right, we're talking to Jason Lock and Forrest, CBS Sports NFL insider on Tiki and Tierney.
All right, Jason. Antonio Brown, he had 56 yards and a touchdown in his debut with the New England Patriots. All his sponsors are running away from him like a rat off a sinking ship. What's going to happen with this investigation? You have any idea or inkling of what they're starting to uncover about really both of these allegations against him?
Yeah, I have zero expectations when it comes to this, and particularly with AB, where there's just been one plot twist after the next. You're just kind of waiting for the next shoe to drop at all times. I don't know. I mean, other than testimony, which they will get from both of these individuals, I don't know of how much of a paper trail there is. I'm sure they will try to get additional text messages and emails to try to flush out as much as they can the exact nature. I just don't know how much of that there will be that speak to the specific allegations at hand. It's very difficult to determine, and we've seen how much the league has struggled to get to the bottom of domestic violence issues, of child abuse issues, and this is sort of in that same realm. So I have no expectations. As of right now, he's eligible to practice and play. I have not heard anything this week that lends me to believe he's about to end up on the exempt list, but at any point they could come across something that the league and its lawyers feel like meets a standard whereby they don't want him on a football field for that given weekend. We're not there yet, and I couldn't honestly tell you if that day comes or not.
Jay, who's under center for the Saints this weekend?
Bridgewater.
Okay.
Could they start in a trick formation, some kind of wild card thing with Hill? Maybe, but Teddy Bridgewater is going to be. He will be the quarterback.
Do you think Eli maybe changes his position on the no trade? Do you think he finishes the season in New York or no?
I think he finishes the season in New York. I don't see anybody. I don't see a trade market for him. I don't know. And it's hard to swap out quarterbacks in the middle of a year. And remember when Garoppolo got traded and San Francisco had nowhere to go but up, and he was in the prime of his life and, you know, as healthy as can be, still took him a month to get on the field just because it's a lot to learn on the fly. The position's so important. I don't see it, guys.
All right. Well, I'll see you on Sunday. Everybody will see you on Sunday on the NFL Today. Of course, on social media, CBSSports.com. Great hit, Jay. Appreciate it, buddy.
My pleasure, guys. Talk to you next week. Thank you.
Here he is, the awesome Jason Lockenfora. A lot of nuggets there, bounce around. What, we hit about 9 or 10 different things?
Yeah, lots of interesting things going on in the NFL in week 2, week 3, of the NFL season already.
Crazy start to the already. Season. Let's get the update for Mac. Obviously, you got pennant races cooking, some afternoon baseball. The Brewers are playing today, so Ack is going to shake it out there. We'll come back. We've got the blast. We'll give you a prediction for tonight as well. That is after Rich Ackerman right now. Update. All right, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio here. Getting ready for a little week 3 tilt. Jaguars, depending upon where you shop, anywhere from +1.5 to +2. Some have a 2.5. I think that's a little bit much if you're liking the Titans. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. We'll get to the blast, obviously. This is, I was just reading some notes here for the weekend, getting ready for Tops, right? We just got our rundown. And my producer, Deb Gelman, I guess I realized this, but I didn't really realize this. So, let's see. For the first time in 16 years, again, you know this, but you don't necessarily process it this way. First time in 16 years, we won't see Eli, Ben, or Breeze on the field. And 19, and 19 of the quarterbacks expected to start are 26 or younger. 20th Cam is out.
Wow.
I mean, that is a real
shift. We said it. BT on Monday. Changing of the guard. It's happening.
Yeah, thank God we have Mahomes. And
yeah, you're right.
We'll see if Lamar Jackson truly, I mean, he's going to eventually settle down a little bit, I would imagine. I mean, yeah. Lamar Jackson's not going to win the MVP. But
no, but I mean, maybe. I don't know. Okay, who knows?
He's got to regress.
We'll see what happens going forward. But he's certainly in the top 3
for MVP
in the conversation
now. That's why I say he's not going to. Yeah.
Probably him.
Right now he's there.
Dak and Pat Mahomes also, I'd say.
I don't know. Mahomes was a little he put up the big, the big second quarter against the Raiders.
But he's got 7 touchdowns on the season. He's got like 800-something yards, or close to 800 yards and 2 touchdowns, or 7 touchdowns without Tyreek Hill. No picks. Nope. They're 2-0.
I mean, Damien Williams is hurt still.
Exactly. Well,
think about how critical, not critical, but how we've already, how quick we are to judge him. I was in the process of saying he didn't really have a good game.
He scored 28 points in a quarter.
But he threw for basically 400 yards in a quarter.
Yes.
With a couple touchdowns.
Yeah. I don't know if that was an NFL record. He threw for 278 yards in the quarter for whatever reason. And I think it might have something to do with like Tyreek Hill being out and Damian Williams as well. Like their scoring offense isn't the same.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
You know, they were stagnant in the first quarter in that game.
They were down 10-0.
Down 10-0. And then they exploded. But then it kind of just fell back into this meandering. We're moving the ball because he had 400 yards. He didn't have 400 yards in a quarter, but he had 430 something yards. But the scoring is a skill. I've told you this a lot, right? And without Hill and without a good running or a consistent runner, it's hard to get in the end zone. And so it's just something to keep an eye on because this game against the Baltimore Ravens is going to be really compelling. I think it's one of the most important and interesting matchups in this week 3 lineup, BT, because in the regular season, Lamar Jackson has only lost one game. And that game was to the Kansas City Chiefs on a ridiculous freak play that Mahomes was sprinting to the sideline to escape pressure, turned through all the way across his body, 35 yards downfield. Mm-hmm. Tyreek Hill and scramble rule, perfection, comes downhill, catches this thing, sprints around the edge and gets down, inside the 2 or 3 yard line. I think he may even score it. I can't remember. But that's what set them up in the overtime. And obviously Kansas City beat them in overtime. So they can beat Kansas City with the way that they play. But beating Kansas City puts them on a whole nother level if you're the Baltimore Ravens. We start taking them seriously if they win this game.
Mm-hmm. It's on CBS. I said this yesterday or maybe even Tuesday. I think it was in one of our inbounds, out-of-bounds questions. Melvin Gordon to the Chiefs makes a little bit of sense.
It does.
Kansas City.
No doubt about it.
Damian Williams.
I didn't even think it. You said it last week, and I wasn't even thinking about the Damian Williams situation.
Kareem Hunt's been gone. Damian Williams. He's not Kareem Hunt, and he's not healthy. I don't know. Maybe we'll file that in our back pocket. Maybe it actually comes to fruition.
Heard it here first.
What's that? Yeah, that's right.
Heard it first.
As you hear many things first here.
That's true.
Like Mahomes was going to win the MVP. You ready for the blast?
Yeah, let's get it.
Let's go.
So many topics, so little time. We give you 5 stories in 5 minutes, but don't take too long or you'll suffer the buzzer. It's time for The Blast with Tiki and Tierney.
All right, Tiki, here we go. Pat Shurmur ends his weekly spot with WFAN Down the Hole, Mike Francesa, after the host insulted the Giants head coach during the interview. Are we okay with the move, or is this a soft move by Shurmur?
Look, I like Coach Shurmur. You know this. I wrote him yesterday just to say hey. And, it's hard to handle this situation. And, again, as we talked about with Jason when he was in Seahorn, you don't draft a kid in top 10 and then try to have him mentored by a 16-year vet who's won 2. It's going to be awkward.
Mm-hmm.
But Mike was berating him.
Oh, my God.
I mean, it was, like, vicious.
It was tough.
For the most part, he held his own.
He did. Because he was classy. Not because
he was
fighting back.
He couldn't. How can he fight back?
True.
The defense is, like, 28th in the NFL.
He had no ammo.
Interestingly, though, and this might surprise a lot of people, the Giants offensively are top 10 offense.
Top 10 offense.
They are a top 10 offense.
So you should have said that.
In the National Football League.
We're a top 10 offense.
Currently in total offense, the Giants are averaging 420 yards a game, which is sixth.
Okay.
The problem is they're not scoring.
They're not scoring the points.
The scoring offense, which has been a problem for, feels like a decade, is 30th or 26th at 15 points a game.
Oh, boy, oh, boy.
Yeah.
I heard this live. I was right outside the Holland Tunnel. And, listen, Shurmur just doesn't have a winning – forget about a winning record here. He's gone 5-11 twice and 4-12, once, and he's 0-2 here. He's got nothing to fight back with, but I wish he did because it could have been epic radio. I mean, I actually felt badly.
Well, that's what he was going for, wasn't it? That's what Mike was going for.
He abused him. I mean, you got to fight back and defend yourself, but Shurmur's got nothing to say. I'll be honest. I heard it. I don't blame Pat.
Yeah.
I mean, it's you can't win. Mike, when Mike wants to hang up on, he's going to hang up on you. And Mike's going to get the last word. Whatever. Just coach your team. All right. The Indians win 3 straight. Just a half game back in the wild card. Who makes it in the American League here?
Listen,
it's a good one. I've always gone. I don't know that it always carries over to the start of the playoffs here. That I challenge because I just think there's too many variables. Pitching rotation. Think about this. You're chasing a wild card till the 162nd game. You're not going to be able necessarily to set up your rotation for the one-game wild card or even, you know, if it's beyond that.
Better win your division is basically what
you're
saying.
But I do like the hot hand during the regular season to keep this going. I think the Indians keep playing solid baseball. I'm going to give it to the Indians
They're half a game out of that final wild card spot. I'd like to see it happen, but I love cash down there in Tampa
the
Bay.
Rays.
Rays, and they're a team that is full of, like, players you don't necessarily know. You're like, who the hell is that? You know, what's he doing? You know, why is he so good? But they manage the team so well. I'd like to see the Rays do it, but I think the Indians you know, have a different pedigree and obviously a better rotation.
Felipe Vasquez.
No, this is ugly, man.
This guy admitted to police that he started a relationship. The details of the story are just painful to even really truly go through and read the whole thing. With a 13-year-old girl, tried to have sex with her, pardon me. Will he ever play in the majors again?
No, of course not. He should never play in the majors ever again. And I think he's admitted.
He admitted. He said, I met her in the bullpen at PNC Park.
Yeah.
You know what's frightening about this? First of all, this guy's the lowest of the earth, and that speaks for itself. Whatever happens to him is going to happen. But you know what I really thought about? Like, as much as the digital era has ruined lives, you know, I hate to be, this is a dark thought, but think about how many athletes that we revere have done stuff like this.
That's right.
That we don't know about.
That's right. That's right.
60s, back 70s,
back
80s.
In the day.
No,
well,
trace,
I mean, the same.
No.
This came out with Pete Rose, with the
it did
young.
Come out with Pete Rose.
Forget
That's
how,
right.
I forget
That's
how
right.
old the girl was. 15 or 16 or something.
She definitely
like that.
Wasn't 13.
No.
Not that there's a difference between 16 in some states there is, but 15 and 13 is
right.
no difference.
It's unforgivable. So should he play in the majors? Never.
No, he ain't playing again. He's done. All right, the Suns open. The Suns are open to playing DeAndre Ayton, friend of the show. We had him on. Former first overall pick at power forward next year. Is that a smart move? You know, a lot of people are sleeping on him. I know the Suns were really bad last year, and I know that rebounds are a little easier to come by than they were in the 80s. And then, first of all, the game's different. You take more long-range shots. There's more misses. There's just more volume, more, you know, more possessions. And when there's more possessions, you have a chance to get more of everything. This guy's a pretty good player, man.
He is.
I mean, 16 and a half and 10, you know, I want to see the step this year.
Yeah, but
pretty good.
But who are you moving into the five spot as your rim protector? You know, I mean, we had him. He said, what do you want to work on your game? Because he was 18 at the time. He's like, I need to learn to be a shooter. I want to be a stretch guy. So I don't know if he's done that of this offseason, but if he has, then it might be smart to move him, you know, off the five. But who plays the five becomes the question. At some point, you got to defend the lane. You got to have somebody down there who can deter the James Hardens of the world from just coming in and owning your home. So I like it, but you better have an answer for, you know, that other side of the game.
And it could also be interchangeable. He can play 65% of the time at the four.
Yeah, I mean,
jump around, shuffle with the five.
Sometimes you see the 76ers go small, and Ben Simmons is their center effectively. So
I want to see where his jump shot is this year. I think
they're talking about
this a while ago.
76ers are going to be interesting because Joel Embiid's lost like 25, 30 pounds or something.
Did he lose that much?
Supposed to be in great shape. So
we'll
see. I know.
He's a great player, but I'll tell you who I'm worried. I'm starting to get hoops on the brain, too. Mavericks going to be fun. Porzingis is healthy, and Doncic is,
Doncic.
Incredible. All right, HBO series going to focus on four college football teams for a week. Arizona State with Herm, Florida, Penn State, and Washington State. Who are we most interested in watching or learning something about? I got my answer
real quick. Go ahead.
Listen, Herm was my coach with the Jets, so I know Herm's entire, I know how, like, motivational games and his methodology. But I don't know much about Arizona State's facilities. I know about Florida. I know about Penn State. I would say either Arizona State or Washington State for me.
I'm going to say Washington State. Mike Leach is just, he's a maniac.
Yeah.
And he's awesome. They play UCLA this weekend. So, I mean, they should win that game against Chip Kelly's squad. But also, you know, Ron Stone's daughter was here. Ron Stone's son, Ron Stone, for those who don't know, was my guard when I played for the New York Giants. His son is a defensive end on Washington State. So if they're going to be on an
HBO,
unreal. Yeah, daughter's on the Olympic, you know, junior Olympic team.
She looks like an athlete.
She's tall as hell.
She is.
Great volleyball player for Oregon. The other one is a discus thrower at Oregon. So Washington State, just so I can see my boys' kids.
I like that. By the way, we'll have Herm Edwards on the show Tuesday, Mike, you said? Tuesday? All right, so there you go. Next week, Herm's going to stop by. I've got the Titans. I'll lay the 2 points. I'll take my chances. Tennessee tonight?
I trust you.
All right, we'll see you tomorrow. Have a great night.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.